Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who really, really appreciates the opportunity to bring conversations, discussions each day, each week that hopefully we can use. That's why I still want to encourage you, as I've done in the past, to bring your A game. In other words, be ready to grasp hold of the information that we share so that in whatever ways possible, you can put it to play in your lives and let it work for you. Let the information work for you. Let the information inspire you. Let the information empower you. Let the information clarify some things for you. Let the information help you make life better for yourself and for others. That's what letting some of life's best moments is all about. That's what Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. is all about. And so let's return to the discussion that we were having last Sunday, the one dealing with health matters, where I was bringing health matters and spiritual perspectives together, discussing a topic from a biblical perspective. And in this case, the topic centered on the connections between spiritual, physical, and mental health. We ended the conversation last Sunday in Deuteronomy 28, where I was reading about the blessings God promised when his people would consistently obey him, not just once in a while. When his people would consistently obey him. And remember what I was sharing with you. This is important. Deuteronomy 28 is not an address to individuals. These have to do with commands and promises that God was addressing to the entire nation, to all of the people of Israel, to the entire nation Israel. And that's why when you hear him talk about granting that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you, the word "you" in that verse is plural. That's why when he talks about something else that we're going to be hearing, that we're going to be hearing today, he's talking about what's going to be done for the nation. All right. So I want you to be thinking about these connections, though. These health matters connections, the connection between spiritual, physical, and mental health as we talk about this. Have you picked up on it? I know I haven't just clearly discussed it. I haven't just come out and said, notice this as one of the moments, one of those areas of good, sound mental health. This as a place for good physical health. This as an area for good spiritual health. I haven't done that, but I'm getting to it. I will say this, though. I'll go ahead and give you this one now. When you're talking about fully obeying the Lord your God and carefully following all his commands, ladies and gentlemen, that leads to spiritual health. Fully obeying the Lord. And again, this is not a command to do this just for a short period of time. This is to be a lifestyle. And when God's people are continually fully obeying him, carefully following all his commands as a lifestyle, that leads to spiritual health. Other things can be going wrong in our lives, but if that's going well, that leads to spiritual health. Think about this. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. How many people know what it is to lose a child through miscarriage, or to lose more than one child through miscarriage? Think about the emotional trauma and the mental trauma you experienced. So being having the fruit of the womb blessed so that you don't become pregnant and then lose a child, whether in vitro, while the child is still in the womb, in the uterus, or soon after the child is born. The child lives and thrives. That is something that is important to anyone in any time, that our children live and thrive. Think about the good that does us emotionally and mentally. And one way to help us realize just how it helps us is to think about the opposite that I've already mentioned, how it devastates us when this does not happen. How about your child does not die in the womb, but the child is born? But the child does not do well, whether physically or otherwise. For whatever reason, the child does not do well, doesn't live well, makes all kinds of bad decisions year after year, from one milestone to the next, from toddler stage, child becomes eventually elementary school age. And some reason in elementary school, the child just seems to make more bad decisions than it seems is logical. Child is in middle school, and you're still getting calls from the office. Child's in high school, still, you had to get the child out of jail a couple of times, out of lockup, and then it looked like it was going, next time it was going to be a detention center for a number of years. Think about the wear and tear on your emotions, your mind, when that's part of your family equation. That will help us begin to understand how even what we've been discussing up to this point really does have to do with spiritual, mental, and physical health. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That which is given to you to provide food for you will be blessed, so that you never run short of food. Think about how some of us have had the opportunity to compare those seasons where we always had plenty of food and never had to give it a second thought. Those seasons where we were wondering where the next meal was going to come from, and then began to wonder, when will be the next time we eat? Children going to school hungry morning after morning and being so glad that they could get that free breakfast, that free lunch. Going home and wondering when would be the next time that they'd be able to eat dinner. Would it be 3 days from now? Would it be 3 weeks from now? That is wear and tear. And when the parents truly care about the children, and many, many parents truly care about the children, it is emotionally, mentally distressing knowing that not only are the parents hungry, but the children are not eating enough. And so when God is seeing to it, you know, we're fully obeying God, He's pleased with our walk, we're spiritually sound, and He's able to bless us. And this isn't to say that any time we're fully obeying God that we're always going to have enough to eat, because as many of you have heard me say before, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 as just one example. You read about people who followed God faithfully, and yet they didn't have enough to eat. They lived, some of them lived in caves, some of them lived in holes in the ground. And so please know that material prosperity is not necessarily an indication that God is pleased with the way someone is living. Just like destitution is not necessarily an indication that God is displeased with the way a person is living. So please keep that in mind. You all have heard me teach that before. That is truth. So please keep that in mind. I am in no way suggesting that if we just simply obey God fully, he will see to it that we prosper materially and physically. He may or he may not. It depends on his plan for each one of us. But just looking at this, where God was going to have the nation of Israel, so that we see that there are connections between spiritual, physical, mental health. You're going hungry day after day, that's going to have a negative impact on your body. It's going to have a negative impact on you physically. And you have that physical suffering as a part of your life long enough, you can best believe that mentally you're going to start suffering. There are connections between our physical health, our mental health. There are connections between physical, mental, spiritual health. Listen to this. The Lord, verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. That is another factor, another part of this passage of Deuteronomy 28 that I like to point out to people to help you realize, again, that this is not a place where God is saying, this is what I'm going to do for every individual Christian on earth. Listen, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will lend to many what? Nations. Not a number of individuals who you know from time to time. No, you will lend to many nations. Generally speaking, nations have the ability to lend money to other nations. Now, we have some people who are rich enough that, you know, multi-billionaires and that kind of thing, who can afford to maybe lend some money to some of the smallest nations on earth. But by and large, notice now, you will lend to many nations. There are very few individuals who have the wherewithal, the financial wherewithal, to lend to many nations. God was not saying to Moses, Moses, you will lend to many nations. He was not saying to Joshua, Joshua, you will lend to many nations. He was not saying to Miriam, Miriam, you will lend to many nations. They were all citizens of the nation Israel. God was not saying to any individual, you will lend to many nations. He was saying to the nation as a whole, that as a nation, you, plural, will lend to many. Very unlikely that any given individual, member, citizen of that nation would be lending to many nations. The reason I pointed out this out is because I want you to remember how important it is to keep these God's verses in their context and really think about what he has had his servants write so that we can pay real close attention to the context and do some analyzing as you pay close attention to the context so that you don't end up making the mistake of holding fast to promises that God never made to you. And if many people would just be honest, you would realize that the reason some of these promises are not being fulfilled in your lives is because God never promised you those things. Now, that said, the nation of Israel put in a position where they would be able, their decision makers, their leaders would be able to determine whether or not to loan money to this nation, to that nation, to those nations who are asking for help. And they have the ability to provide that help. To be in that kind of position can be so rewarding for the people of that nation, knowing that the nation is doing so well. Not just each of them, some of them individually, many of them individually, but the nation's economy is so strong. The nation's financial being is so strong that they're able to provide to many nations. That gives you a sense of security, which is good for you mentally, emotionally. You're eating well because God is opening up the storehouse of his bounty, sending much rain on your land to water your crops, water your beasts, etc., and blessing all the work of your hands so that you are doing well financially. Think about, again, if we can compare. Think about what kind of mindset you have, what frame of mind you have or had back in those days when you were living from paycheck to paycheck. And now, not only are you not living from paycheck to paycheck, but your investment portfolio is building up steadily. Your savings account is building up. You're making sure that you have plenty of emergency funds to take care of emergencies, etc. Think about that sense of peace that you have, that peace of mind that you have when things, now that things are going very, very well financially, compared to when you were struggling to survive. Your stomach's not hurting from hunger. I mean, you're doing well physically, mentally, spiritually. Now, it's our choice as to how well we do spiritually. You can believe that. But it's our choice as to how we respond when finances are tight. It's our choice as to how we respond to any difficult time. It's our choice to respond when things are going very, very well. We still choose how we respond. And that's very important to remember. Because we can be doing well financially, we can be doing well physically, and still be doing poorly spiritually because we choose not to honor God as we should. We may be doing poorly spiritually and not even realize it. Think about what God said in Revelation chapter 3 when he was coming down on some of the people at church, the church people, who were doing very, very well materially. They were really, really prospering from a material standpoint. But from a spiritual standpoint, God said that they were naked. They bragged about how much money they had. They bragged about their fine clothes. And God said, listen, you're about to lose your candlestick. You're about to lose your place in me. I'm about to disconnect you. I'm about to sever ties with you. They're saying, hey, you know what? I am rich. I've acquired wealth, and I don't need anything. And God said, you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Here we see an example of a disconnect. And sometimes by looking at the disconnects, we can better appreciate, see, and appreciate the connections. They had a disconnect. Financially, they were doing well. So as a result, physically, they were doing well. But spiritually, they were doing poorly. They said, I'm rich. God said, you're poor. Why were they poor? What made them poor was the condition of their spirits. So when it comes to these connections, we need to make sure that we're seeing it from God's perspective, because his perspective is always the right perspective. We get things lined up. We can enjoy physical, mental, spiritual health. I Am They is the name of the group. My Feet Are on the Rock is the name of the song. And I'll be right back.